I'm Pitney.
And I'm Amelia.
And we're from
Pitney and Amelia's Bitchin' Boutique.
Who are we?
Why, we're your new best friends, of course.
Pull up a seat and listen in to what we think about people, places, and things.
Geeky stuff, horror movies, weirdos we know, spirituality, sexuality, food, filth.
It's like eavesdropping on the people at the next table for like an hour or so, and wishing you could join in on their conversation.
Also, do you see who just came in? Look at that hair.
Oh, honey, just... no.
Bitchiness, you're soaking in it.
We soften your hands while you do the dishes.
Pitney and Amelia's Bitchin' Boutique.
We're here.
We're queer. And
we're
in your ear.
Every other Friday, where all the classiest podcasts are found.
My name is Paige, and you're listening to Reverie True Crime. Before we get into this episode, I want to thank my awesome patrons over at patreon.com/reverietruecrime. At the time of this recording, there's Lorraine, Denise, Melissa, Emily, Trevor, and Madeline. If you want to hang out over there for $3 a month, you get bonus episodes, ad-free episodes, logo stickers, and cards in the mail, and more. You can check it out before you sign up. Also, if you sign up before November or December, I am pausing payments for those 2 months because it's the holidays and I don't want anyone to pay during that time. However, if you join in November, Patreon will charge you $3, but you won't have to pay in December. So, just a little heads up on that. Thanks so much for supporting me and the show however you choose to. I love each and every one of you, that's for sure. So today's episode is a little different. It's October, so I thought, why not throw in something extremely weird and spooky? Now this episode, it's up to you to decide what's real and what isn't. Buckle up, grab your popcorn, tuck yourself in bed, get comfy wherever you are, and yes, that means you on the toilet too. I definitely see you. And let's get into this haunting true story of the Smurl family. This story begins in 1973. Floods that were connected to Hurricane Agnes forced the Smurl family to leave their home in Wilkes Barre. Jack and Janet Smurl were a married couple with 4 children, Heather, Shannon, Dawn, and Karen. The family moved into a house in the city of Pittston, Pennsylvania, on Chase Street. Jack's mom and dad, John and Mary, were the ones who paid for the house. The house was separated into 2 parts, and the Smurls lived in the left side, and Jack's mom and dad took the right. The house was very old. Jack and Janet wanted it to look more up-to-date. They started painting and repairing the place to spruce it up. In 1974, they'd been living in the house for 1 year. Everything had been going so well. Jack got a promotion at his job, the kids were getting great grades, everyone in the house was content and happy. Well, things started to change. The family started struggling with finances. Jack's mom, Mary, had a heart attack, and slowly, strange, unexplainable things started to happen. A dark stain showed up on the floor. As many times as they cleaned the spot, it always reappeared. Things would go missing and show up again. The toilets and the bathroom sink were brand spanking new, but all of a sudden, these scratches mysteriously appeared all over them. Janet and Jack would paint over the stains on the walls, but it didn't help. These stains would always come back, and ooze through the new paint. Allegedly, their oldest daughter started seeing see-through shapes directly up above her bed. The family's television? It went up in flames with no reasonable explanation, as well as kitchen appliances that were not even plugged into the wall. Problems kept occurring. The water pipes were leaking, but there was no reason for them to be. Every time they thought they had fixed them, they'd always start back leaking. By 1977, they started experiencing more things that were a little more aggressive. Their radio came on and off on its own. The toilet would randomly flush itself. The sounds of someone or multiple people going up and down the stairs. Drawers opened and slammed on their own. But even worse, they could smell what is described as a death smell all over the house. The feelings of hands stroking Jack's skin that couldn't be explained. The temperature in the house started to drop. As all of this was happening, Janet was pregnant and had two baby girls. At this time, the paranormal events were spiking. Janet was in the kitchen, and she saw with her own eyes a shadow figure that shook her to the core. Janet would be alone in the home many times, and she heard someone calling her name. Janet, 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 Janet. A lot of the time, it sounded like Mary. She would go looking around the house each time to make sure she really was alone, and as she thought, she was the only one there. Jack's parents claimed that they definitely could hear yelling, name-calling, and arguments coming from Janet and Jack's part of the home. It happened so much that his parents really thought that their marriage was falling apart. One day, it happened. Mary, Jack's mother, saw the same ominous shadow figure that Janet had seen that day in the kitchen. Mary started to understand now what was going on inside of their house. She also came to realize that whatever or whoever was occupying the house with them were not friendly. Shannon was only 7 years old when a light fixture flew off of the ceiling. Conflicting reports say that she was cut by it, and some say it landed right in front of her. Janet would awake in the middle of the night while she was levitating off of the bed, and some nights she would be tossed against the wall while in midair with a lot of force. The Smurls had a German shepherd named Simon, and he was not off limits to these entities. He was often found levitating as well. Janet would even experience terrible physical attacks that tossed her out of the bed, as well as sexual assaults. When this would happen, Jack wasn't able to move. He was paralyzed, possibly in a similar state to sleep paralysis. Something even took hold of little Shannon, dragging the child out of her bedroom. They would discover Shannon at the bottom of the stairs after these assaults, petrified. A day never went by that they didn't hear scratching on and in the walls, along with the sounds of loud breathing. Something that also happened many times while Jack was watching TV was he would fall asleep during a show. He would wake up, but he couldn't move. He was slammed to the floor, describing each time the person on top of him was different. At times, it was a distorted old lady. Sometimes she looked young, a succubus. He said the woman on top of him would sexually assault him, and she would have red eyes as well as yellow gums. The neighbors even said when the Smurls were not at home, they heard yelling and growling coming from inside of the house. The Smurls were scared and didn't know what else to do. They reached out to Ed and Lorraine Warren, a couple who are paranormal investigators. They agreed to come to their house. The Warrens performed an investigation that was broadcasted all over. After investigating for a long period of time, Lorraine Warren told them that they did live in a house with four other spirits. She said one was an older woman who was not a threat to the family. One was a younger girl who was angry and could possibly get violent. Conflicting reports say one was a man who passed away in the home and suffered greatly. Others say the man was always lurking in the shadows, that he killed his wife and his lover. He was hanged by a crowd 100 years prior to the Smurls moving in. The fourth was a demon that would take control of the other three spirits to wreak total havoc on the family. Some reports do not mention the young girl, but instead they say another spirit was a powerful entity that they could not reach. Neither could others that tried to come in and channel it. I hate not knowing which report is correct, but either way, what I do know is, I wouldn't want either of them in my house. Ed Warren talked to Father McKenna. He was an exorcist authorized by the Vatican. Father McKenna had shown himself to Ed and Lorraine to be legitimate. He attempted to exorcise the house of the demons and spirits. This only made things a lot worse. Ed and Lorraine used an EVP, which is a device that captures voices and sounds that sometimes cannot be heard by the human ears. And when they played it back, they heard entities berating and insulting them. Not only that, but a demon started to choke Ed, which took days for him to recuperate from. Janet and Jack's daughter Karen got deathly sick due to an infection that could also not be explained. Their daughter Dawn kept getting sexually abused by one of the spirits as well. Janet and her mother-in-law Mary started seeing and feeling mysterious bruises, bite marks, and stinging sensations all over themselves. These spirits and demons not only occupied their house, but wherever the family went, they would occasionally follow them. One time they followed them to their jobs, and another time went with them on a camping trip. Father McKenna came back to the home a few months later, and he attempted to do another exorcism. Rumors started circulating that the Smurl family were lying about a lot of the experience they said they had. This resulted in the church denying any more help to the family. Even having witnesses to the phenomena going on in the home, many people thought this was just the Smurl family's plan to sell the house since they were having trouble financially. Janet said that she couldn't live in the house another second because she couldn't handle what was happening to not only herself, but her family. Things had gotten even worse in the house after the second exorcism was performed. Janet desperately reached out to the media outlets. She really hoped that this would open the eyes to the church and that they would consider doing a third exorcism. However, this only caused journalists and neighbors to hound and harass them constantly. Hundreds of people took over Chase Street to just get a glimpse of the house. Janet said she was in no way comfortable about how widely the news had spread and how highly publicized it was, and the evil spirits weren't happy about it either. Lorraine Warren suggested that they get in touch with a medium by the name of Mary Alice Rinkman. The Smurl family contacted Mary Alice, and she said the exact same thing as Ed and Lorraine. Everyone was in favor now to assist the family due to the proof that the medium accumulated. Ed and Lorraine Warren wrangled in a few priests and a slew of parishioners who organized the exorcism and prayed together. At this time, Ed Warren was in touch with Robert Curran, a writer who he wanted to write about the Smurl family and the demonic possession happening in their home. The third exorcism went well. No more terrible things were happening, and the family finally felt so relieved. This only lasted for 3 months, unfortunately. Jack saw a shadow figure, and he grabbed a cross, started praying to God, and hoped that this was just a one-time thing. It wasn't. The demonic spirits had other plans for the family. The phenomena started up again. The final exorcism was organized. For 10 years, the Smurl family had put up such a fight against these harmful spirits, but they couldn't do it any longer. They finally decided to leave the home and the area completely in 1988. As far as we know, the family experienced peace again, never experiencing such things ever again. In 1986, while they were still living in the home, Jack was in contact with a Hollywood production company. He wanted them to buy the rights to his story. In November of 1986, St. Martin's Press made an announcement that they were coming out with a book about the Smurl family's haunting experiences. After the Smurls were long gone from the house in 1991, a made-for-TV movie released. The writers that were given credit for this were Jack, Janet, Ed, and Lorraine. The new resident of the home on Chase Street reported that they didn't experience anything weird or evil in the home. So, do you believe the Smurl family was truly haunted by evil spirits? Or do you think this is a case of people wanting publicity and or trying to sell the house due to financial troubles they were experiencing? Either way, this is an interesting story that I wanted to share with all of you. If you have a paranormal or any kind of creepy experience that you'd like to share for an episode coming up that I'm calling Spooktober Stories, feel free to email me your story at reverietruecrime@gmail.com. Anything scary you'd like to share, feel free to send your stories on over. You can hang out with me on social media on Twitter, which is Reverie Crime Pod, Instagram at Reverie True Crime, Facebook.com/Reverie True Crime. For case suggestions, you can email me at ReverieTrueCrime@gmail.com. Until next time, stay safe, stay healthy, stay home as much as possible, and take all precautions due to these crazy times that we're living in right now.